Welcome to the Longevity Forum podcast, a series on achieving longer, healthier, and more fulfilled lives for as many as possible. In this session from the Longevity Forum annual event, we're thrilled to have Brian Johnson, the founder of Project Blueprint and CEO of Kernel, who will be speaking with Jim Mellon, co-founder of the Longevity Forum, on his own longevity challenge. I'll leave the rest to you, Jim.
I've been watching your videos all day long, and I have to say I'm really, really impressed. I'm really impressed. And so I've got a few questions for you. You'll probably ask these all the time. You had a very nice article in the Guardian newspaper this week in the UK. I don't know if you saw it at all. If you haven't, then we'll forward it to you. And you're featured in a BBC podcast series that just started this week as well, which I downloaded. So your fame precedes you. And as a result, the Longevity Forum is really grateful for, you know, for this opportunity to talk to you. And hopefully we can persuade you to come in person next year to London, and which I think you'd enjoy. It's a whole week of science, social science. And, you know, you would be very welcome, and it would be great if you could talk to our audience. But I want to ask you a fairly simple question to begin with, and that is that I've just been in Copenhagen at the sort of convention of aging scientists, geroscientists, whatever, and they were all there. It's a bit like an echo chamber. I'm sure you've been to these things before. They're all talking to each other at every conference.
Yeah.
There is no doubt that some progress is being made. I mean, you know, the pathways of aging are now being identified. There is some malleability to them. Obviously, there's some interventions that are possible and so forth. If at some stage in the future there was a pill or something that you could take to substitute for all the stuff that you're doing yourself, would you do that, or would you carry on doing what you're doing, or would you do both?
I really like this question, because I think it really tugs at the heart of what is really going on in the world. If someone was born in the 18th or 19th or even the 20th century, I think it would have been reasonable for them to look out over their lifetime and be able to predict with a reasonable degree of accuracy what the changes might roughly be like. Like if you said you wanted to become a carpenter or some other profession, you could probably be that in your entire life. So you have like decent visibility into the future. Not to say society wouldn't change, but in this moment in time in the 21st century, with the advancements in artificial intelligence, we're up against a wall of fog we can't see past. It's never been the case that humanity has been blind to a degree we are now, where we can't see 1 year into the future. And so when it comes to making predictions about my future self, my future behaviors, my preferences, I don't dare say anything about anything. The only thing I can come back to is that I hope that I can exist. I hope I can be around to evolve through whatever's going to happen. But outside of that, wouldn't even dare state a preference, because I don't think I even understand my preferences as well as would be required to make that answer.
All right. Well, that's a great answer to my initial question. But, you know, you are, as I said, I've watched your videos, and you have a sort of closet full of supplementation. You have a very strict diet. Some might say it's a diet that, you know, they couldn't handle themselves. I mean, mm-hmm. most people, I think, would be like that. Mm-hmm. You have an exercise regime. You have lots of medical devices and all that sort of stuff. Do you get bored of it, or are you just so on the mission that you're so single-minded that, you know, boredom doesn't come into it?
Yeah. I love every second of it. And I am mission driven. I love a singular mindset. I love trying to do very hard things. I love pain. The things I value are on the other side of pain. So no, this is the thing that I think is entertaining, is the majority of people view what I do on a regular basis and they assume I'm miserable and bored and in a prison of my own making. And very few imagine that I'm the happiest I've ever been in my entire life. So yeah, it fills me full of joy.
Yeah, it looks like that because, you know, I asked the question only because most people would ask that question.
Yeah.
But having watched you and your videos, you are projecting real happiness and real contentment. And do you think that some of that is to do with your previous life was not a happy one? You're talking about, you know, eating bad food and, you know, various miserable things that happened to you? Or do you think it's because you've reached a kind of state of, I wouldn't say nirvana, but you've reached a state which is in itself is going to generate happiness? And I'm not putting this very well. Is it the contrast between your previous life and the current life that makes you happy? Or is it just that anyone who did what you're doing would probably feel as happy as you do?
It's probably a universal principle where hard work is hard, being miserable is harder.
Yeah.
And every time I'm confronted with the situation of, do I do this thing or do I skip it? I can come back to that simple principle and say, whatever pain or discomfort I'm going to experience in the short run is less than what I'm going to experience in the long run if I don't do it. And it's also, it's, my son maintains this meme on his phone of this individual split in half. On the one side, he's terribly unhealthy and miserable. On the right side, he's terribly healthy and equally miserable in terms of like the things he had to go through to achieve that. So no matter where you want to end up on the spectrum, it's just hard work and discomfort and pain. And so it's just choosing which path you want, but you know, both have their own characteristics.
Okay. Do you look at the science that's going on in gerontology at the moment and get heartened by it? Do you think that the, apart from what you're doing personally to yourself, but very positively, that actually there are good things happening out there, or do you think it's very much in its infancy?
I first started trying building intuitions about the world of biology in 2014. After I sold my company, I invested $100 million into deep tech, synthetic biology, genomics, nanotechnology. And it was my first time being exposed to scientists, entrepreneurs trying to commercialize out of the lab. And I've been at this now for almost 10 years. One of my first investments was Ginkgo Bioworks, that has now emerged to become the leader in synthetic biology. And to see what they've done to bring the cost down of reading and writing DNA for, you know, an infinite number of applications, I think that the, so the reason I was doing it is, you know, we're very good in the world about programming computers, zeros and ones. We have a problem that computers can solve, and engineers, great. We have millions of people all over the world who can do it. If we have a problem in the world that requires the structure of physical atoms, molecules, and organisms, from the reef to molecules for drugs we take, we don't have the same robustness. And so I was basically trying to invest in companies that could rebuild this robustness. We say, we have a problem in the world with atoms, molecules, or organisms. Who can design these things to fix the problem, whether it be disease or, you know, something like the climate? And I would say, I think the progress in biology, we are at a knee of a curve. What that curve looks like, TBD, but I think it is substantially further along than meets the eye. So I'm extremely bullish.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And it's not just in human health span and all that sort of stuff. It's also in climate change technology, food, et cetera. Yeah.
I mean, you take these companies where they, these problems where, you like a wet lab, a bench wet lab needs to solve the problem. And then you take the same thing and you apply a machine learning model and you're 100,000 times faster, you know, at sorting these possibilities. So the advances that machine learning is offering up for the discovery process, I really do think that it's like a mirror effect. The objects in the mirror may appear, actually the opposite, may appear closer than they are. I think we're really at a defining moment. And when we can actually reliably engineer the building blocks of matter, it's a different game for us.
Yeah, we're in a fantastic new world, and it's a bit, to me, you're 20 years younger than me, but it's a bit to me like the dawn of the internet. You know, it's a sort of, we don't really know what the internet's for, but it's going to be big. And I think that what you're describing is exactly that. And, that hopefully we will, or at least I will live long enough. And I know you will, but I will live long enough to reap some of the benefits of these monumental changes that are occurring. But let me just ask you about, you're an entrepreneur, businessman, a hugely successful businessman. You've moved from one thing to another very successfully. Is this, I know that this is a personal challenge for you, and it's also a challenge for humanity in the sense that you're acting almost as a guinea pig for the rest of us. And you're very inspiring, by the way. I'm going to do some of the stuff that you're doing. I'm actually committing to doing that.
Great. But,
Is this a business venture for you as well?
It really is not. Maybe you've heard me say this. I love reading biographies, and I love reading them because you can take a given century, the 17th century, and the entire century of human activity is distilled into some number of books. So it means, as we whittle down information, a certain percent of what we do matters as it carries over to the next century. And if you try to say in the 21st century of everything going on in the world right now, all the noise happening, if we whittle down what actually matters in the 21st century, to me, it's one thing. It's don't die. I mean, that is the only thing on our to-do list. Don't die individually. Don't kill each other. Don't destroy the planet. And don't build AI so it destroys us. But we've built the technology of the gods. It's here, we have it. And the gains we're going to make in these other places, amazing. But it really boils down to don't die. And so for me, the business, it's interesting to help people do Blueprint and beyond Blueprint, but my objective is not wealth accumulation. My objective is survival. And I think that's where we're at as a species, is we've been in this zone of comfort for so long, where we get to play these games of status and power and wealth and the things that money can buy. I think we are in a urgent situation of survival, and I hope that my behavior reflects that's what I really am trying to do. Blueprint. So it appears as if it's about food and exercise and diet. It's not. It's entirely about changing the philosophical zeitgeist of humanity to say, can we just all agree on one thing? Let's not die. And that is a monumental task because of the divergence of views, where if you just simply say a basic statement like don't die, you would presume you could get agreement on that from quite a few people. You can't, right? Like there's so many nuanced perspectives about death that even getting agreement on that front. So business is like the last thing on my mind. Survival of species is the forefront.
That's fantastic. And I think it's will be your defining motto, won't it? Don't die. Presumably there's a book in the works and all that sort of stuff. I hope there is anyway, because it's such a great, simple one-liner that just says everything about all the stuff that you're doing. So let me just diverge a little bit. What is the single best biography that you've read?
Yeah, I love them. I love each of these biographies for different reasons. Like I just finished up Magellan. So I learned about circumnavigation of the globe. And if you read about it, it's like the hype cycle we've seen in the gold rush and in, crypto. And like, it's just these economic cycles happen continually. Reading about them circumnavigating the globe, the same kind of thing. That was cool. I also finished up a book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's a biography of him. He attempted to assassinate Hitler in World War II and, Hitler's Germany. So understanding World War II and Hitler's Germany through the perspective of someone who was trying to assassinate Hitler when there was so much confusion around him and the death camps, it's really enlightening. I read Claude Shannon's Information Theory. How did he come up with that? The modern infrastructure for how modern communications. I just read Lenin. So it's really diverse. But each one of these things, what it does for me, it helps me time travel and be in that place and understand that person's perspective. What was the world like? How do they understand the world? How do they process information? What were their problem solving techniques? What are the norms that entrapped them they couldn't see? And to me, it's just this layered structure where you can peel away with the advantage of retrospect And then I immediately take that and say, how now can I apply this to myself? Like, where am I blind? I'm caught up in 2023 with our norms and our beliefs and our zeitgeist. Where am I trapped? What would the 25th century say about me? And so learning about circumnavigation of the globe and World War II, and you know, it's really helpful to basically slam those perspectives together and try to expand my own.
Fantastic. Well, that's fantastic. I've got three biographies I can think of that I'm going to send to you. And thank you for this interview. I think they'll be a bit different to the ones that you've been reading so far, but hopefully you'll find them interesting. They're not written by me, by the way. Just random biographies.
That's kind of okay. Thank you.
What do you think? Just turning the question around a bit, I'm very committed to trying to change our climate. In this country here in the UK, we're boiling. I mean, it's not quite like what's happening in the US, but it's very hot at the moment. And it will be the hottest September on record. And it is everywhere, basically.
Yeah.
And one of the key factors is, of course, intensive farming of animals, which is contributing about a third to emissions. And we're doing everything we can to try and change the food supply. Is this something that interests you or is part of your, you know, your zeitgeist that we need to do something about the food supply generally because everyone's, you know, getting obese, not you, obviously, but everyone's, you know, the world is getting obese, there's diabetes, there's everything going wrong in that respect. And food companies are contributing to that.
Yeah. It's a primary interest of mine. And so let me, this is, I think, my most controversial opinion. So I looked at myself and I said, do I really believe in myself that I can make the decisions that are going to be in my best long-term interest? So take me, I'm now chronologically 46. Take me at every five-year increment. So 51, 56, 60, 61. And let's imagine that those versions of me are present and they can chime in on the decision-making process. So even small things like, should I eat this pint of ice cream right now? Should I stay up late and drink alcohol with my friends? Should I? Now, you know, you can imagine in that conversation, like 66-year-old Brian that maybe has like beginning signs of dementia is going to say, you know what, Brian, let's really focus on our health and wellness, getting to bed on time, but getting proper sleep. You know, can I basically skip time and get all my Brians together? And in that process, I concluded, I cannot trust myself to act in my best interest, period. No matter how disciplined I am, no matter how much momentum I've gained, I can't do it. And so Blueprint, basically, I said to Blueprint, okay, if I can't inherently trust myself, my own willpower, I'm going to build an algorithm that can take better care of me than I can myself. I'm just simply going to say, all right, algorithm, I'm in. I'm going to observe with my mind. Now, like there may be times where I may be hungry or I may want a snack or I may want to be, you know, naughty, but the algorithm runs me and I'm just going to observe myself. Now, to a lot of people, that sounds hellish and like a prison and very threatening. For me, I said, I really care a lot about trying to live in the future and experience all the marvelous things that could happen. I will take this trade-off. And if you apply the same principle to planet Earth, we are currently in this conundrum with our climate, where we all see this happening in lifetime. We're all in some sort of disbelief of like, why can't we do something about this? Because this is catastrophic. We're seeing the effects. I mean, the majority of people. And I would propose that the solution for climate change is the same as what I've done for my body. Blueprint for the Earth. We measure the Earth with millions of biomarkers. We look at gold standard scientific evidence of what is a proper biosphere for the land, for the soil, for the air, for the ocean, for the coral reef. All these variables we know that are relevant to our biosphere. Then the protocol is put on planet Earth, and humans have to play within that protocol. We can't bust it open and say, you know what? Today is going to be cheat day. We're going to have four pizzas and two pints of ice cream and we're going to drink and we're going to do whatever. You can't. Humans are within a protocol status. And that basically is saying the same thing I said about myself. We as a species cannot be trusted. We cannot act in our own best interest. We have played our cards. We've done our very best. We've proven that we cannot do it. And we'll even take ourselves to the absolute edge of potential extinction with the weapons we have, with the biosphere. And that is I think where we're at as a species is this soberness that we have unilaterally relied upon our own minds for everything in our individual lives and everything else, because it's the only option we've ever had. But computational intelligence now offers this new way of being, but it strikes at the most precious thing we hold in existence, which is our free will and our individual decision-making. And I think that's really, if we are serious about the problem in front of us, we will have to reconcile with our individual and collective behaviors.
Well, that couldn't have been better said, to be quite honest. And it's a great point. I know that your time short, and we're going to be showing this video to the Longevity Forum in November in London. Brian, could I persuade you that if you have the time next year, that you would join us in person in London?
I would try my very best, Jim.
That would be really much appreciated. And I think everyone would really enjoy meeting you. Honestly, you are, I mean it really very sincerely, a total inspiration. It's so nice to meet you in a kind of quasi-person way. I look forward to meeting you in genuine person in the future. And you'll have three hefty biographies to have read by the time you meet in person.
It will
so
be done.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much, Brian. Yeah, really, honestly, I'm tingling. You really are an inspiring person. Thank you very much.
We are very grateful to our sponsor, Juvenescence. For more podcasts, visit our website, thelongevityforum.com, or follow us on Twitter, longevity_forum.